see if I can get them set up. Dante,
Vickers coming in.
And I think now if you just click right here, you can go back and forth, and we can just start from there.
All right, let's say
we click here. Which one?
Yeah, just you see right here, right and left.
All right, let's do this. Let's.
All right, wait. Let's just think if you. Let's try this.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, if you just hit the arrow.
All right.
Here, right and left, it'll go back and forth.
All right, you should recognize that individual. That's your son.
Who?
That's your son, Norris.
Norris Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. And what we're doing is, I was here in the 70s.
Yeah, okay.
And we're going to go just through these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Yeah.
So what I want to do is just start right here. This is a beater.
It's a beater.
And it just explain how a beater works?
And those, now we have it hooked up to electricity. In those days we had it hooked up on with a car engine. But now we hook it up with an electric motor,
And what's the purpose?
That's to break the shells off of the shrimp.
And do you do that before you boil or after you boil?
Oh, no, that's done after it's boiled, after it's dried. It's got to be dried. It's got to be dried at the right amount of time. You got to have the feeling to it. If you don't know, you can't go by the timing. In other words, you got to know when that shrimp is dry enough that when you're going to put it in that beater, that it's going to come clean. Because if you don't dry it enough, you're going to turn it into that beater and it's just going to break up to pieces and you're not going to do nothing with it. And if it's dry too dry, it's going to break up again. You're going to lose your product.
So how do you tell when it's just right?
You got to have it in your mind. If you don't have it in your mind, if you don't know the about going to it, you can't do it.
And you got to know. Something you can only learn from experience.
You got to learn from experience. I mean, you can't go. They had said that you had to boil your shrimp so many minutes. That don't work. You got to boil your shrimp until you know that the shrimp is ready and cooked. Then you take them out of your boil. And when you come after they dry, when you come to beat them, you got to turn that shrimp over every hour. You got to go in that shovel with a shovel, turn that shrimp over every hour. Until you know that shrimp is dry enough to put in that beater. And if you put it out too fast, it's not going to work. It's not going to make a good product. If you let it dry too much, it's still not going to be a good product. It's going to be too overdry. Mm-hmm. And it's going to break up.
It's going to break into other pieces.
Yeah.
Well, when did you start using a beater? I'm sure when you were a kid.
Yeah, they had that when I was
when you were little?
Yeah, when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on platforms. It wasn't like this. It was a big drum, like a square box, but it was made out of steel, and it just had some holes in it. So my brother had one in on the Gulf over there, and it wasn't a beater like this. Then they come out with this kind of beater. I don't know if the people learn as they went.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the inside drawers. People didn't know that before one of them decided that it could be done. And then they built them dries to where you wouldn't lose as much shrimp than on sun-dried. Sun-dried, you'd lose a lot of shrimp. The weather would get bad, and shrimp is going to hold up a certain amount of time. That after that, it gets sour, it's spoiled, and then you got to sell it for fish food if you can save it. And most of the time, you have to throw them overboard. I mean, there's nothing you could do with it.
Well, you said you grew up over here along the bayou.
Yep.
And when were you born, Mr. Pry?
Right here in Shore.
Right, no, but when?
1930. I'm going to be 80 years old in February.
Well, that's great.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely.
I didn't know I was going to make it to 80, but I'm almost there.
And you're still working.
Oh, yeah, I'm still there.
Did your family fish when you were little?
Yeah, my daddy did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to fish.
It was shrimping? Or?
Yeah, shrimping. Mm-hmm. It was shrimping. And he worked on dry shrimp platform. And then when I was old enough, I started working on dry shrimp platform as a young man.
Where were they? I mean, who had the platforms in this area?
That was on the Gulf, wasn't it?
Okay.
That was on the Gulf. We started in Lake Barre. You had platforms at Bar Terrebonne. And then from Bar Terrebonne, we'd move to Bayou Giraud in the west. We worked Bayou Giraud. In 1953, that's when I started, 1953, on my own.
Well, before you started on your own, about how many platforms were there?
You take a long bite there, bone, they had four platforms in one section on bite there, bone. And at the end, it's hot bite there, bone over there, they had two of them. And then on north end of Lake Barre, they had two platforms. And then going to the west, at the end of from Cocodrie, they had one at Cocodrie. And they had further south, they had two of them. And then going back to the further west, got by Grand Cayer, Redfish Bay had three platforms in Redfish Bay. And then in 1959, the one I bought across from Redfish Bay and by Grand Cayer, they had one there. And then you'd go further west by the Lodge, they had three platforms in by the Lodge. Then from there, they had one in by Taylor. Then from there, in by Giraud, they had a cedar six or seven in by Giraud. And then off the bay, they had four, I remember, in Osterboy they had. And then in Pasaraquette, they call it, at the end of the Chaffalai River, that's at the end of
Terrebonne Parish.
Terrebonne Parish. They had one there. So that's how many they had that I remember.
But how big were the platforms then?
About 200 by 200 feet. 200 feet one way, 200 feet other. This one I had right there, that was the way it was. Mm-hmm. And some of them about that size, and they had some bigger than that. And then when we broke, and the storm broke us down, there's pictures that we got in that corner over there, that's when we went broken after the storm. So we just picked up the lumber, and we came here in Dulac, they had a wharf for sale, so I bought the wharf. And then we built back the platform there. Mm-hmm. And then the kids, Junior was still going to school at that time. And Steve, my oldest son, was trawling. And then when they finished school, Junior finished school, and they wanted to build this factory. And I told him, I said, look, let me tell y'all something. I said, I'm 50 years old. I said, y'all want to be sure that this is what y'all want to do for a living. Because I don't want y'all to leave me build with a factory and leave that on my hands at 50 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to live. And I don't want to be stuck with that by myself. Oh no, Daddy, that's what we want to do. We want a factory. We want a factory and we want to make our living out of that. And the two boys stuck with it. They're still with me. One of them's crippled, but he's still doing what he can.
How high were the platforms off the water?
About 5-6 feet.
Mm-hmm. How did they put the piling down when they built the first platforms?
Got behind. I'll do that behind.
How far down in the mud were they?
3 or 4 feet, I guess. Down about 6 feet up. Just take, you see, the you take the land down there on the gulf, that was soft mud. And you had to stick it to the height you wanted it. And then you'd have to take some pieces. You had your post like this, and then you had to put some cross pieces on the ground like this.
Okay.
So that where they can't sink. They can't sink down.
Mm-hmm. Those were 2x4s?
No, just 1x4.
1x4.
It was 1x4 cypress. All cypress trees. All striped cypress.
Platforms of cypresses?
All well? Cypress.
When you first started in the industry, out in the Gulf, near the Gulf, what did they use to fire the boilers? Wood?
When I started, it was diesel. But they started with wood years before my time. There was wood. They'd bring wood down there. And when I started, they had hooked that up with diesel. And some blows, what I used to use was some little airplane blows. You buy that in the surplus, army surplus. With a little airplane blow, you could run it with a 32 volt. And you had a pipe. You had a pipe coming with your diesel falling at the end of the you had it like a 2-inch pipe. That blow was hooked up to that. And you had your diesel would fall at the end, and your blow would push that diesel underneath that boiler. Mm-hmm. And that boiler with diesel.
Hmm. So you had to haul the diesel out?
Yeah, you had to haul the diesel on in your boat in drums. And all your diesel but drums. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it would use a lot of diesel. You had to load up your boat with drums.
50 gallon?
Yeah, and then 55 gallon drums. Mm-hmm. And when we'd move that, and I don't see the wharf, you can't, the picture's in trouble. We'd put that on the wharf. Had a big wharf on the boy side, and we'd put them drones on the side of the wharf like that. When you need the diesel for them, just put it in your tank. You had a special tank for the boiler
Now, you set your own boats to get the diesel, or did they have did the wholesaler just send the boats out?
No, we had to bring our own diesel. We'd come up with it, we had our own boats with it. So we'd, picture my boat somewhere. Yeah, on the bottom, that was my boat. The last little picture on the bottom.
On the right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right outside.
All
right. And we'd load that with diesel, and in fact, my daddy had a little boat too.
Now, how did you get your dried shrimp product to market? I mean, you dried it, you have put it in a...
We put them in them burlap bags. In those days, they come out with this later, but at the beginning, it was some coffee bag. Burlap, coffee bag. They'd pick that up in New Orleans up there, and that's what we'd put our shrimp in. And then we'd bring that to Hoy and Hung on St. Louis Street.
Now you took it there, or they came and picked it up?
No, we had a truck. They had a Mr. Stringer. Mr. Stringer had a truck, and he'd pick it up and bring it over there.
Now he had a platform too, didn't he? The Stringers?
The Stringers had a platform when they was young. Mm-hmm. But when he got out of the business, he started hauling shrimp for Hoy.
And how long did you work with the people on St. Louis Street?
On St. Louis Street, until I built over here, until I started in 53. And we built here in 1980.
27 years?
Yeah.
So it was a good relationship?
Oh, yeah. In other words, when the old man, when they was in business, I'd go over there and they'd tell me what the price of the shrimp was and how much we could pay the trawlers. And then the shrimp, every once in a while, the shrimp would go down. Until one year, I told the old man, I told Mr. Stringer, they wanted some shrimp bad. It was in September. I said, look, I cannot go dry shrimp and bring it in and lose money every time I'm going to bring them in. I said, we're going to need some insurance on this. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, we're going to go see Hoy. I want you to come and see Hoy and talk to him. I said, okay. I went over there and I told him, I said, look, I said, I need to have some insurance when I'm going to go down and draw you some shrimp. Or I'm not going to draw no shrimp. He said, well, he said, how much shrimp your platform can hold? And then I told him. But I said, it's not how much it can hold. I said, because sometimes we draw them, but it's not dry enough to beat them, so we put them in sacks and put them in camps. And then when the weather's good, we pull them back out and beat them. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, how soon you can find out when the shrimp price goes down? I said, 3 days, two, 3 days. I said, I've got a radio at my house and my wife can tell me on the radio. She said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. We make a deal on 5,000 pounds. When you're going to leave, I'm going to tell you, this is the price. And he said, whatever you have over 5,000 pounds, he said, I'm going to pay the price up to 5,000 pounds. And if the price goes down, what you got after, he said, that's going to be yours. He said, well, I said, I can find out by the time I get 5,000 pounds at that price, I'll know if the shrimp went down. He said, okay. He said, well, we're going to make a deal like that. And Strangler was there listening. And Mr. Hoy and Mr. Holmes had both at that desk. And Mr. Strangler said, look, Hoy, let me tell you something. I'm going to put price of shrimp at one price in my truck. And if I got some other shrimp that I'm picking up on the buy that went down, that's going to be two different pricing on that shrimp. He said, you got to realize that you're making deal with this man, and I'm going to pay this man up to 5,000 pounds. He said, okay. He said, we're going to do it like that. I said, okay, I'm going to dry some shrimp. And that's the only way I'm going to dry some. I said, I think if I keep on losing money, I can't keep on losing money. So we went, when we came in Dulac, Bob had took over and he went on that in the new place. So he called me up and his Stringer died there and his son took over. And he came there, I had a bunch of dried shrimp and I told him, I said, I gotta get this price. He said, well, he said, you have to talk to Bob about it. So I called, Bob called and he said, I can't pay those prices. He said, I'm buying at Grand Isle cheaper than that. I said, Bob, let me tell you one thing. Grand Isle's got a price. I've got 17 shrimp buys on this in Dulac. And I got to meet the price of them 17 shrimp buys. Or I'm out of business. Oh, he said, we can get it cheaper than that in Grand Isle. I said, I can't sell it to you for that price. I said, just like I'm talking to you on this telephone, I'll never forget that, it cost me $8, the telephone call. I said, just like I'm talking to you on that telephone, I can talk to New York and I can talk to California, where that shrimp is going at. Oh, he said, I hope you don't feel like that. He said, I said, Bob, I'm out of business. If I got to take the price that you're going to give me, I'm out of business. I got to cut the price to the boat. I can't buy no shrimp. 17 shrimp buyers over here. They're going to buy the shrimp. I'm going to be sitting here and not buying no shrimp. Well, he said, we can't pay the price. I said, okay. So Bobby Joe, Summoney, I was bringing my bigger shrimp to Summoney packing. And they got two Chinese that came to buy a peel shrimp. And Bobby Joe called me. He said, you still got that dried shrimp? I said, yeah, I still got it. He said, hey, how much you gotta get for it? I said, I gotta get $4 a pound for it. Chinese came, he said, you got time to come eat dinner over here? I said, yeah. He said, come eat dinner. I went over there. And then the Chinese asked me, he said, how long do you think you can have that packed trip to New York? So I told him, I said, about a week, I can have all that back. I'm going to get more hard bunch related, and I got a building at the house that they can pack it in. So we pack it, we send that over. I can never forget that $70,000 worth of front I sent over. And then I started tripping to New York over. And then it got the waterfront got too small, and then they didn't want the shrimp that was too small, the seabot. They didn't want the seabot. And then after that, I just start selling elsewhere all over. Whoever call on the phone, need a case of shrimp or 2 cases, how many pounds, I just send it by UPS or by a size freight line. And I start shipping my shrimp myself. And Hawaii, they didn't want to meet the price, so I had to give up. I had to go and sell it where I could make a stay in business. That's why I stay in business. That's the only way I could stay in business.
Well, I was in Chinatown in New York this year. Louisiana shrimp selling for $29 a pound. I was in California this year. Louisiana shrimp selling for $22 a pound. So when you look at this photograph, and this is the modern means of packaging, it's not a coffee bag. How much shrimp could you put in a bag?
That you put 100 pounds. Okay. 120 pounds.
All right. Now, this is a photograph where we're actually looking at the boiler.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? What's the step? We bring shrimp to your platform.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to make it a product?
We boil them. We wash them down. After they wash, we boil them. And after they...
Do you boil them in fresh water or salt water? Or?
Well, no, we boil them with the city water. We got city water.
Okay.
Beer now. When it was on the Gulf, it was seawater. When it was on the Gulf, it was seawater. Now, up here, it's city water. We're in city water.
Okay. And how many pounds could you boil in one of these big...
We put 800 pounds.
Wow.
You saw them boxes, them blue boxes?
Yes.
When they was crossing the road with?
Yes.
Yeah, I had eight boxes to the batch.
So each box is 100 pounds?
100 pounds.
Heads on?
Heads on, 800 pounds. Hmm. 800 pounds to the batch. We put 4 sacks of salt. Put 4 sacks of salt to start.
This is sea salt or rock salt?
What do you? No, use? That's a fine salt, table salt, okay. Table salt.
You buy that locally?
Or do you no, have? We got that. We buy that from Texas.
Hmm.
We got a company that they bring that from Texas.
Now, do you know if the shrimp drying industry was ever in Texas?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So we finished boiling. We boil 800 pounds. Then what do you do with the shrimp?
After we boil 800 pounds, we dump it in our dryers.
But now before the dryers, you put it in a wheelbarrow and then...
Oh yeah, put them in a wheelbarrow.
All right.
Put them in a wheelbarrow and then they go and they dump it in the dryer.
And before that, you would put them on an outside like this?
Yeah, like this. We just wheelbarrow them out and dump it on the platform.
And how many...
And you see there... You have to have a tarpaulin on there, which we have in those pictures over there, you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We got a tarpaulin, and then at night you had to pile that up, and then put a tarpaulin underneath, or if you had bad weather, to stop the... Because once they on in the sun, and if they're wet, you can go overboard with them. Mm-hmm. You can't save them after.
Okay. Well, you talked about the tarpaulin. That's why you have that...
That thing in the middle.
Planks in the middle.
That's the, in other words, you put your shrimp underneath there, and your tarpaulin would fit this way, and you had some rings on the side, and with some ropes on that tarpaulin, and you would tie that to where that it would stay like a teepee like that.
Hmm. How many shrimp could you put on your platform?
On the platform, we put like 200 boxes.
200, that's 2,000 pounds.
Oh, no, that'd be more than that. 2,000 pounds would be 20 bucks.
Yeah, that's...
200 times 100. 20,000 pounds.
20,000 pounds, 10 ton. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of shrimp.
Yep. But that was easy to draw down there.
It was easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now.
That was just one day's work.
One day's work?
Yeah, it was easy to have 200 tubs at 20 ton in one day.
Now, is that because of the breezes out there that help draw it?
No, it's the best time to draw shrimp is in winter with the wind, the north wind. But in summer, it's so hot. I mean, it's the temperature gets so hot that it draws up. You take in summer a day and a half, and then you put them in your beer.
So you could.
But now in 8 hours, you put them in your beer. That's the difference.
Wow.
From a day and a half to 8 hours.
So let me get this right. In a day and a half, you could, running at maximum capacity,
yeah,
dry 10 tons of shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And there were at least 30 platforms that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, they had plenty of.
So would each platform be operating similar?
Yeah, oh yeah. Because they had some boats on that boat, and yeah, I mean they had some. That was a lot of dry shrimp.
Oh yes.
A lot of dry shrimp.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Orr, how much of the shrimp being taken in the Gulf was dry?
How much?
Yeah, I mean, you have any idea? I mean, we're talking about 10%, a quarter.
In those days, almost everything.
Okay.
Then they came out the packing, the canning plant was using the small shrimp, but that went down too. In a few years back, they stopped the canning. They started with the peel shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was peeling and drying. I mean, peeling and packing frozen.
Mm-hmm. About when did that change take place?
I wouldn't know exactly how. Well, and when we was in Dulac in 1974, I think the canning plant was going down pretty fast at that time. Because I don't believe they got any more canning. They might have one or two canning plants left. Besides that, like we do over here, peel them and freeze them in 5 pound boxes. That's our brand right there. See, we peel and freeze them in 5 pound boxes.
Is that the same with the Indian Ridge?
Yep.
Same way?
Indian Ridge, Triple T, that went down, still open, but the bankruptcy, and some company from California bought that.
Now, one of the things we're fascinated with are the cans that were used in the canning process.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Do you have one of those cans?
No, we never did that.
They're hard to find.
We never did it. The only place that maybe Calvin Odermost place, which is High Seas now.
Okay.
Because he bought his uncle, that was his uncle that had that Calvin. And Raymond bought the place. They might have some cans left over in some of them sheds and these
at High Seas.
At High Seas.
Okay.
That would be the only place that I think that you could maybe see them cans. Or they had a company out in New Orleans that was still canning. I think it's Rudy Canning Company, I think it was named that. I think they had one canning, still one of them canning that out in New Orleans that I remember.
Okay. Now explain what's happening here. This is your son.
Yeah, he's taking that out of the beer. And put them in bags to put them on the side and ready to sell them.
And what did you do with the shrimp hulls?
Shrimp hull, Bloom, pick it up. He came and picked up a load this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When that truck was, I don't know if they're still there when you left.
No, I don't know, I don't remember, no.
They came and load up in the back.
So he picks up the dust.
Yeah.
But you market the shrimp.
I market the shrimp.
All right. Now, one of the things we found, Carl and I have been doing this now for about 4 years. And one of the things we found is there is a lot of dried shrimp that went to Chinatowns, San Francisco, New York. Some went to Hawaii. We know some went to Singapore. We're pretty sure some went into Central America, to Brazil, Nicaragua. We know some went to Germany. Does that sound right? Does those...
It could be.
Okay. All right. Could be.
Because I sent some to Hawaii through a company out of California. They wanted it packed in a 1 pound bag, and they sent it to Hawaii. I don't remember which company it was out of Hawaii, but the company, it was a company out of California. It was a company like, I can't remember the name of the company right offhand, because that was about 10, 15 years ago, I guess. And it was a company like Walmart, big company.
All right, now we're still taking it out of the beaters. This is the dried shrimp. Now we're cleaning up. I don't know the young man here.
He had a couple of young men from up here, from up the bay. I don't remember which one it was. They grow so fast now that...
All right, here's the platform. We have the tarps. You said that there were places here that you could tie off the tarps?
Yeah, right on the edge right here.
All right.
About this side right here.
Okay.
Most probably some rings right here.
All right. And you built that?
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the ones in the Gulf, you know, at Lake Barre or South Terrebonne, Cocodri, all of the lumber had to come by boat.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember any stories about that?
You just load your boat with your lumber and you'd go and you'd build your platform wherever you wanted to build it.
But they'd buy the lumber in Houma, you believe? Or did they get it from the mills?
I bought mine in Raceland. Raceland,
You went to a mill out there?
Yeah. That's why I bought it.
Robichaux?
Robichaux lumber.
Okay.
Robichaux lumber.
All Cypress?
All Cypress. Oh yeah, all sorts. No pine, no nothing. The only pine that they had, it's like that trough that you saw them shoveling. That was the only pine they had. And that might have been cypress too, because we'd buy cypress. It was all cypress.
Now, remembering in the past, all this was done by hand.
Yep.
How long do you think it took them to build a platform? Not with road access. I mean, in the marsh.
In the marsh.
Yeah. How long do you think it took them to build?
I wouldn't remember. Took a good while for sure.
Okay.
Because we the storm broke us up.
Which storm? Betsy?
No, this was...
The 56 storm?
It was before Betsy. We came in 74. That was in 74, when we came in Dulac. But we, Hilda had cleaned up completely. Only one old camp I had left. That old camp that's on the side, you can see like that. That's the only camp that was left on a 200-foot square platform. I don't remember which month it was when that storm hit.
I believe it was September.
Well, we went back, we got some lumber, and the fellas got the shipyard down the bar told me that he could build me a beater with steel, the one I got in the back. Just the same picture that you saw, what you got on the picture. Well, he could build it. If I wanted to build my platform back, that he could build me that beater. He said, I can build you the beater. The only thing, you have to send some men to put your screen on the way you want to put your screen on. I said, well, that's no problem. If you want to do that, I'm going to go build a platform. So he started building the deal, and by the time the winter wasn't over, and we had about half of the platform made already that we could start working. And if that was in September, October, and November, we was working. By November, we was working. And that was starting from scratch. We didn't have nothing left. Mm-hmm. But I had a bunch of young boys and jump in there and just keep on going.
Now, did you work a platform year-round?
No.
Okay.
We'd work that in May. And then after the storm season, like October, we'd start October 1st to Christmas time. Then we went in January, sometime in January, but by that time the shrimp season was, everything was almost finished. So we'd shut down.
So you would dry, if you could get them, white shrimp, brown shrimp, and sea bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
What are these wooden boxes used for?
That's what we used to use to put the shrimp in.
Okay.
You see now, what we use now, we use them plastic box. But in those days, it was all wooden box.
Now, did you...
change from wooden box to plastic.
Did you make those, or did you...
No, you had to buy them already made. They had companies selling that. Hmm. We'd buy the last one I bought was through a Nola box out in New York. Nola box of in your, they'd use that for crabs too.
Okay.
Sometimes they'd call that crab box, but they'd use that for crab and use that for shrimp.
All right. So you had a camp next to your platform.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would you say that when you're talking about Lake Barre and Quatre Bayou and Oyster Bayou and the other places, at the Bayou du Lac,
yeah,
and Lake de Cad, all of those places, did people live on the platform year-round?
I wouldn't say year-round, but on the seasons, they might have people that would live year-round. On some of them platforms that I don't know, but we wouldn't live year-round.
Okay.
We'd make our shrimp season and then we'd come back home.
Well, when you go out for
but
the
they had camps, you see. Them platforms had 7 or 8 camps around there. This platform here had 7 or 8 camps I had around there. And people would live in them camps. They had a whole family. You take when the shrimp season, when the school would close, I'd bring my whole family around. And then the vacation, they'd have some vacation around Christmas time, around Thanksgiving, you know. I'd come pick up my family and bring them down.
Mm-hmm. Now, normally, how many people are we talking about? When you'd move out there, you'd go down with just some workers?
Yeah.
About how many people are we talking about?
About 4 or 5.
Okay. And so you'd have at least 4 or 5 people there for the season?
Yeah.
But in the 7 camps, how many people would there be?
Oh, well, I wouldn't know exactly how many. It depends on what kind of families they had.
At least 4?
Yeah, at least.
All right, that'd be 28, mm-hmm. So 30 plus your workers. You could easily have 35 people.
Could easily have.
Close to the...
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the people that lived in the camp, did they shrimp the shrimp season and then go and trap?
Most of them would. But you see, in the winter season, I was a trapper. In other words, when I quit trapping, that's when I went, I started on a platform. But you see, your winter season for shrimping is the same time as trapping.
Mm-hmm.
So you either had to do one or the other. Because when I went trapping, the last 2 years we trapped on Point of Fire over there. And that was when you were trapping. Well, that was there. We'd come for Christmas. We'd go there in November, and we'd come back at the beginning of November, I think it was, when the trapping season would open. And we'd come back Christmas, a couple of days around Christmas, and then we'd go back after Christmas until the trapping season was over. And that would stay there without funding.
For the whole trapping season?
The whole trapping season.
Now, was that a lease? Were you trapping on a lease?
Yeah, that was a lease.
School, for LLNE? School a school
no,
section?
No, school section. That was a school section. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. School section on Pointe aux Fers.
There's a lot of shrimp.
Oh, we had some shrimp. I've seen a lot of shrimp in my... I'd like to see them all in a pile where I went through and see what kind of pile he'd have.
A lot of shrimp.
Yeah.
Now, when did you establish the Ocean Blue label for your own Chevette?
1982. We built the place over here in 1980. And then in 82, we start the peeling. Mm-hmm. In other words, in 1980, me and Steve was running this, and Junior was running Dulac. And then when we saw that we was going to put the peeling machines and all, then I told Junior we're going to bring everything we got in Dulac, and we'll bring that all over here to where we have everything together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What we want to dry, we dry. What we want to peel, we peel.
So you have mechanical peelers?
Oh, yeah. Them Litron machine. Mm-hmm.
And then you hand pack?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you ship to Canada?
We used to ship to Canada, a lot to Canada, but we don't ship them no more. When we first started, we had a... You see, even the brokers got out of there. Take Tommy Bush. Tommy Bush was our broker out of New Orleans. And he went out. After a storm, I called him after a storm. And he was out of bed. They shut down. Hmm. I thought he was going to pick it up in the back. Hello? Senior? This is it. Okay, and you? Mm-hmm. What this is all about. No, thank you. We don't need it, man. Thank you. Bye-bye. No need to consult.
Now, the wheelbarrows you used, were those handmade?
Yeah, we made them.
You made them here?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a template or something, or you just figured it out?
Figured it out our head. You see, that's why they made this way. With an angle on, mm-hmm. your weight would be there. You wouldn't have your weight all
it's down on your back. Yeah, on your arms and your back.
Yeah. The weight was on the wheel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The wheel would take the weight.
There's the boxes.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay, I'm fine.
Now, what was the brand used for? The shrimp dust. I heard you mention...
They make fertilizer out of there, and they mix that in with some other stuff to feed hogs and things like that.
All right, but I think you mentioned fish food.
Fish food, yeah.
Okay.
They make fish food out of it.
All right. There's one of the coffee sacks.
Yeah.
And there's one of the wheelbarrows.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what we'd like to do is we want to give you these pictures. All right? But we got to burn a disk. Unless you got a computer, we can download them to. So we're going to try to do that tonight.
Yeah. And we can drop it off.
We'll leave it with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Because these are, I took them in about 1978 or 9.
Junior would have liked to see that. I'm actually
You're going to have it. You'll be able to show them to him. In fact, we will.
What you can do is just take the disc to Walmart or someplace and have them print it.
But it, we thought you'd like those.
Mm-hmm. But how's the industry doing after the storms the last few years?
Oh, it's going down and down. That's hardly no more boats drawn. You take over here, I had a few big boats. And they all tied up. The fuel went up to $4 a gallon. When the fuel went up to $4 a gallon, they started tying up the boats. They couldn't make it. And I got two big steel hulls tied up. They're all rotting up. Nobody's moving. They went on job, and they just stayed on job. Hello? Yeah. Yeah. What size are you looking for? We got $12 a pound on the small, yeah. $12.50. Yeah. $13.50. $15.50. Okay. Well, that's the way they came. Everything's getting small now. Well, they was making the count when we drawed them. Yeah. Okay. Give me your phone number and have my son call you later. Okay? Yeah. Okay, let me give you this over. 985-892-0578. Okay? My son's going to call you later. No? Yeah. Okay? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Recognize that person?
Yes, what's it?
That was a while ago. Well, I was teaching in Nichols, and you all let me take some photographs. So we're gonna download these and give them
to you. Try to burn them on a disc and drop them off for y'all tomorrow.
But you can see...
What we're trying to do today is just record the history of the industry and your family's participation in it.
Right.
Who was with you?
I had, that's what I said, I don't know, regularly I had Terry.
You had Terry and
Larry.
How about little Lee Rett right here?
Timmy.
Timmy. Yeah, Timmy went down.
Yeah, I think so.
Timmy and Terry.
That's what I said. I can't see him good enough to face the... Because like I said, Terry was when he crashed...
when he ran through the tree and...
Yeah, I said, he got to be one of them three because that's the only... It looked like Barry, the other one. And, that's some old pictures.
Well, I had hair and it was what gray. Now I just sort of polish, I don't wash. Why don't you sit here? They're bringing lunch.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get out of your hair.
You get out of your hair.